Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
The Lifestyle Show.
Selina McKenzie.
Our brains are incredibly adept at repair.
The me nobody sees.
We create our own realities.
A deep insight into mental health.
Yes, this is the Me Nobody Sees, our monthly mental health awareness program. Now, today we're going to be concentrating on loneliness at Christmas, because as the Christmas approaches, the world gets busier and brighter. Yet for many, it can still feel like a very lonely time. Today we're opening up the conversation, sharing stories and reminding each other that connection can be found in unexpected places. If you want to join in, do give us a call on 952 78 4000. You can WhatsApp 645 996795, or email studio@tre.radio.
The Me Nobody Sees, a deep insight into mental health.
And I want to welcome back our survivor, Michelle Mack.
Good afternoon.
Oh, yeah, you need to talk into the microphone.
That's my microphone, dear. That's terrible.
She's not done
isn't
this
it?
Before.
No, I know. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon. And we've got two new ladies today. We have Ingrid Joya, who is a coach, therapist, educator, and inspirational speaker. Welcome.
Welcome, welcome. Hello, everybody.
Welcome, welcome. How do you say welcome in your language?
Tere tulemast.
Tere tulemast. Probably not quite. And Emma Thorne-Lees, who is a transformational life coach and community creator. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks very much for having me. Can't wait to have this conversation.
It is great to have you on the show. I'm just going to turn you up a tiny little bit. So, as everybody knows who listens to us monthly, this show can go anywhere. It evolves. So if anyone wants to talk about anything different, as long as it's to do with mental health awareness, then feel free to get in touch. But our basic topic is loneliness at Christmas. And I think it must be getting harder, because I think social media makes things really tough. You're nodding, Emma. Do you think it makes things harder for people?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's difficult. It's easy to demonise social media as well, isn't it, to be honest? But I think, especially if we're feeling a little bit vulnerable, maybe a little bit lonely, and we see people's feeds of what they're doing with their family, with their friends, all the things they're buying, all the parties they're going to, all those kinds of things. If we're already feeling maybe a little bit vulnerable or having a bit of a down moment, which we all do at times, let's be absolutely honest, if we then compare ourselves, which I think social media can inevitably lead us to doing, it's very easy to then kind of get into a bit of a negative spiral and to tell ourselves that everyone else is having this absolutely wondrous festive season when it all looks perfect. And let's be honest again.
It never is.
Yeah, exactly. What do we actually share on social media? It's usually the highlights of things rather than the difficult moments. And social media can be fantastic for connecting us to each other if we use it in an intentional way. But equally, it can be something, if we're not careful about how we do it, that we can very easily slip into maybe feeling a bit worse about ourselves or comparing ourselves to other people. And maybe we're conscious of it, maybe we're not conscious of it, but just being aware of what we're doing and maybe using social media in a very intentional way to reach out to people, to connect with other people, rather than, you know, we all do it at times, doom scrolling and looking at stuff. But I think trying to think about how we do use social media in our best interests rather than just getting sucked in, because it's designed to suck us in,
isn't it?
It is.
That's why it's there. And I was just talking with my first interviewee about social media and the pressure that it can put on us. But you are right. There are positives from social media. And I think if somebody's alone, because you can feel lonely when you're in a room full of people, can't you? But if you're alone, maybe you've lost a loved one and it's your first Christmas on your own, you can go to forums, you can go to groups of like-minded people, can't you, to get in touch with. So social media is good in that way.
Yes, but it also builds a story, an illusion of how it should be. Or I can imagine now listen to you talking, I can kind of have these pictures in my mind that, for example, 100 years ago, you didn't know what the guys were doing in the next village, how they were celebrating Christmas. You don't have these beautiful pictures of how they are laughing together and having this really nice tableware and everybody hugging and giving these gifts. It's all about how you do things and how you feel yourself.
Yeah.
So now we are living the story of others, of this, what you should buy and what you should do. So this yeah. is this is disconnecting myself from myself.
Yeah, I understand. And I think it's got, as well as just going a little bit off the loneliness side, it's got a bit too commercialised. I mean, I know, I remember my dad saying I used to get an orange and I loved it because I'd never got an orange all year. But
I know, it's strange,
now,
isn't it?
The kids get so much, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, well, I think so. But I do think there's a little bit of a swing back towards a little bit more restraint now. But, I mean, every parent always wants to do and give more to their child than they had themselves. So that's just a normal human, yeah. human response. I think the thing that we've got to remember is actually it's not about what we give in terms of a physical present or money or anything like that. It's about giving time. It's about giving time and making time for other people. Giving of yourself is actually far, far, far greater. I had this conversation last night with somebody than feeling that, oh, well, I'll pay for lunch or I'll take you out for this or I'll buy you the best present. Really what everybody wants is actually a bit of time and companionship yeah. and friendship, love, all of those things which are unfortunately growing shorter in measure.
Yeah, and that's what we can do to help people who might be on their own at Christmas. If you've got a neighbour down the road who you know are on their own, just maybe just pop by. They might say, I'm not interested, I'm happy to be on my own, which some people are, but at least you've tried. They might just want to have a cup of coffee and a chat.
But you saying that, I think there's the flip side as well from the loneliness aspect of it and people feeling lonely, which I know plenty do at Christmas, and particularly those who've been bereaved recently. I think that's probably the hardest thing. But there's also people who really don't want to be with people and feel forced into actually being social and doing stuff that they don't actually feel comfortable doing because they're not social creatures. So there's two sides to that.
I think somebody wrote in last month, didn't they, about that. They said they felt the pressure of Christmas because everyone's asking them, because they're on their own, to go around. And she was like, I don't want to.
No,
to be
I know.
On my own.
It's quite funny, isn't
Which
it?
Is fine. Mm, absolutely totally. Fine. But I think for some people it must be tough. So, Emma, if somebody's listening and they're thinking, well, you know, keep hearing these Christmas songs and everyone's talking about Christmas and how wonderful it is, but I am dreading it because it's my first one on my own or whatever, or I'm feeling lonely. From your point of view as a professional, can you give any advice of how to cope with it?
Absolutely. And firstly, for anyone that is feeling that way, and I think we all do at some time, that one thing I did want to point out is just to normalise the fact... sorry, having a bit of a microphone issue. To normalise that we can all feel lonely at times, and I do think it's maybe sometimes a bit of a topic that's a little bit taboo almost to admit that we're lonely. And I think it can be exacerbated at Christmas time, and particularly if we've had a hard time or we've had loss. But to be with ourselves, I think to bring that connection, that presence to ourselves. And I think it's very counterculture that we reach outside of ourselves, whether it's to social media or it's to look outside of ourselves for advice or what we should be doing. And of course, there's a time and a place for be doing that. But I think to actually be with ourselves and listen to ourselves and to befriend ourselves in those tough moments, that we sometimes disown our own feelings, our own difficulties for totally natural reasons, because it's hard, because it's tough to feel things. We maybe want to numb, we want to escape, we want to do everything but feel those feelings. And believe me, I've been there, having struggled with my own mental health at many points in my life. So the turning towards what we're feeling, turning inwards and befriending ourselves and being with ourselves is so counterintuitive, but we can often actually be lonely to our own self.
Yeah.
And if we're not belonging to ourselves, where do we belong? We're never going to feel like we belong in a community, in a room, in a party, in a family, in a partnership, no matter what it is. But if we start to befriend our own emotions and start to listen and trust in ourselves, however that looks, even if it's just for a few moments, that we acknowledge how we're feeling, maybe we write about it. I know there's a lot of talk about journaling. That doesn't work for everyone, obviously. Talking out loud to ourselves, but just being with how we're feeling in that moment as much as we can. And reaching out, even if it's to one person, whether it's on a text message or to on a community, like you said, on social media. Everyone has felt that at some moment in their life. Everyone. Sure. And anyone that's saying that they haven't, then I would question that. I know that's, again, maybe a bit provocative, but I think we all have at some moment in our life. But to reach out, I think there is always someone that will be there, even just to connect with you for a few moments, to be with you in that difficult moment. Everyone would understand that. And you know what? I think most people actually want to help and support other people, but we don't often ask.
Yeah. I'm going to take an advert break so we can sort the microphone out, and we'll come back to that because it's a really good subject. We'll be back after this.
The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Welcome back to the Me Nobody Sees, our Mental Health Awareness Monthly programme. If you want to join in the conversation, here is how to do so.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on plus 34 645 9967 95.
We have received a few WhatsApps already. Please don't think I'm ignoring you, but we will we'll go to them all because they come through thick and fast, so we probably will do them all in one go. Really sorry, Emma. I didn't want Michelle to have to hold the microphone any longer because I could see her arm was going, so I took an advert break, but I interrupted you. So yeah, you're absolutely right in what you're saying, so carry on with it.
Well, I'm trying to remember my train of thought now.
Welcome to my world.
Oh, dear.
I think the point I was making was that, yeah, we sometimes, I think maybe women are slightly find it more challenging than men. Actually, no, that's probably not true, actually, as I say that. I think men find it equally as challenging, if not more so in some situations. Certainly different generations, I think it's different. But I think if someone actually asks me or reaches out to ask for help in a professional or personal capacity, I am honoured that they have asked me to help. And I think that's, we want to help other people, we want to support other people, but sometimes it's just getting over ourselves just to reach out to someone and say, I just want to have a chat. It doesn't have to be anything bigger than that, or I want to go out for a walk, and so it's not something like big intimidating situation.
Yeah. I think if they're coming to you professionally, I think it's probably slightly easier, but I think, say if it's Mr. Bloggers down the road, I think they don't like bothering people. They don't want to say, look, you know, I'd like to go for a coffee, I'd like to do something, because they're thinking, well, everyone's busy and I don't want to bother them. And so they just stay in their loneliness. Whereas, as you say, on the other side, people want to help. They'd like to help. But equally, and it's particularly for British people, we don't want to bother them. Yes. We're all too polite.
I think you're right. I think there is a bit of a challenge to ask for help, to reach out for help. We think that everyone else is busy and they haven't got time. And we do have to get over ourselves sometimes, because we do say, oh, I'm so busy. That's a bit of a cultural thing, isn't it? Especially this time of year, even more so. But if I think back on the moments, certainly in my life, that have been the high points, it's when I have set things aside to have those connected conversations with people. And I've been there for myself or other people, not necessarily close to me, but for friends or acquaintances. I think that's what, for me personally, connection is what life is about. And I think those are the things that we'll look back on and be grateful for, rather than spending, you know, spending money or you know, giving your neighbour a Christmas present or a bottle of wine or whatever it might be, actually checking in with them, saying, hello, do you want to come in for have a cup of coffee? Looking out for somebody who has maybe lost someone recently. Those kinds of things mean much more than giving a gift or sending a Christmas card even.
I agree. And one day we'll probably be all in that situation, and we'll want that person down the road, the younger person, to check in on us. That's it's the circle of life, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I love the way you said, you know from your own mental health struggles, and Michelle and I spoke about this, didn't we, last month, that normally professional people like yourselves, they are good at their jobs because they've been through it. And I love the fact that you can admit that, because there's no stigma.
No, and I think anybody or most people working within the field of mental health these days, definitely psychologists and psychotherapists all have to have been through therapy themselves. So, you know, they do understand. I think that's the thing is, you know, somebody will think, oh, she's just doing her job. Well, yes, she might just be doing her job, but she's also, or he has also been through something themselves. They have to.
To understand.
To understand and have empathy.
Yeah, absolutely. And emotional intelligence, that's one of my favourite two words. Ingrid, if you have any clients that come to you and say that, you know, they're feeling lonely, they're feeling on their own, what advice would you give?
I totally agree with what Emma says, that it the loneliness comes from the disconnection with yourself. So the first thing is I would repeat yourself, you, that how you feel, what's inside of you. But the really good practice, and this is not only loneliness, but happiness, generally, is every day have at least one eye contact or one word or one line of word, one sentence with somebody you don't know. And this works miracles.
That's a good idea.
Is actually you walk, try it yourself today. Try to smile one person you don't know, walking down the street, in a grocery store, whatever, wherever. And it would be really good to say something, I don't know. Nice weather or a cute dog or smile to a child or create connection. And this works miracles.
Yeah.
It really does. And this is a practice. I'm from Northern Europe, so I'm not like in people in Spain are like nice and shiny and smiling everybody on the street. I have to practice this stuff really. It doesn't come to me naturally, so I do practice it, and I forget it time to times. And when I do it, then again I remember. Oh, this works well. And when somebody looks at me, smiles, says something to me, it makes me feel really, really good. Yeah. Better than
It's amazing, actually. Yeah. Just walking along a street and giving a smile to another human being.
It makes you feel nice.
Well, it makes you feel good, but it's amazing the effect that something as simple as that can have on somebody. Yeah. And the eye contact, as you say, it's so important. And I do think that those little small gestures like that really mean a lot to people.
Definitely.
I was talking about, again, I've been having this conversation recently about exactly this, and just talking and taking time out for somebody. It really does make a difference.
Yeah.
And also I would add there a layer of physical touch, because, you know, we have to survive, we need warmth, we need food, and we need water. We need to be hydrated, but also we need touch.
We're basically houseplants with anxiety.
So there are different animal tests done that if you take a baby and you feed the baby, an animal baby, and you give all the physical needs, you fulfill them, but you don't touch the baby dies very soon. So physical touch is something to acknowledge that we need it. It's not something that, oh, it's good to have, but it is actually a physical need. So I don't know.
I think you have to be careful, because some people don't like it, do they?
Yeah,
some
but really for yourself, for example, if I feel sad, I don't know, put a really nice body lotion on. I don't know,
yeah,
touch yourself.
Cuddle an animal.
Yeah. Hug a friend.
I'm a real hugger. I'll hug anybody.
Yes, yeah, so this physical part is also really, really important to acknowledge that if you haven't had a physical connection, I don't mean like, I mean just physical connection, I don't know, hugging somebody or shaking a hand or petting on a shoulder, then this could be something that that you could, I don't know, give yourself.
Yeah, yeah. This guy I was talking to in the first hour, Gavin Oakes, he was talking about people thinking about more about the negatives in life, like triggers is a real buzzword at the moment. Well, that triggers me and that triggers me. He says, I want to flip it round, and his new word is glimmers. And he says, anytime anybody feels down for whatever reason, they might have a legitimate reason, they might be ill or whatever, he said, just take yourself back to 30 seconds of a moment in childhood that made you happy, and that's just a glimmer that will just lift your spirits a bit. It's not going to take the problem away.
For me, I find music incredibly uplifting. Yeah. And, you know, if I'm feeling a bit... I'll put on one of my favourite tracks that I know I want to sort of like dance and jump around to, and will make me feel good. And it's really funny, actually, because I think everybody in the world knows we've all just had our Spotify Wrapped things for the year. And it came up with you know, what sort of club you were in regarding to the type of music you listened to. And Leah went, oh, that's really cool, Mum. We're both in the same club. We're in Club Serotonin because we like feel-good music. And actually, it's silly. It's just something as simple as that. Yeah. You know, putting your headphones on, putting some music on that you like, going outside, going for a walk, looking at nature, all these things, reconnecting with things that are grounding, mm. which are really very good for helping you feel less lonely and more alive.
And whatever works for you. I mean, Emma, you said about journaling. I love journaling, and I've feel it's good for my mental health. Some people don't. Some people will like to be in nature, but other people don't. Some people want to just sit and read a book. Whatever works for you. There's no one size fits all, is there?
Absolutely. I think that's really important that we can try and create lists or prescriptions for ourselves or follow what the latest celebrity has said, X, Y, and Z person, but just listening to ourselves and trusting ourselves. And I think certainly in my experience and working with people that we can often spend a lot of life in our heads and our thoughts, and a lot of those thoughts are not necessarily very helpful ones. So, you know, speaking it out loud or writing it out or dancing it out, doing something in the nature or an exercise, whatever it might be that works for you, and experimenting with that without putting any expectation on it. I think sometimes, especially again this time of year, we've got so many things on our list, but even just taking 5 minutes in the morning, I'm a huge advocate of like spending the first 10 minutes in the morning just to be with my nice cup of herbal tea, not checking my phone. Yeah, I can't do decaffeinated coffee anymore.
I can't do herbal tea.
Can you not? Oh, really?
No,
I've had to educate, gradually try and filter
Give
myself
me the
on
caffeine.
Oh, no. I shake too much with caffeine. But yeah, just to not spend that time on the phone, for example, that I just spend that time with myself instead of jumping to the phone. Again, it's just rewiring my brain in a different way. And the point you said about the glimmers, I think, is a really important one because our brains are wired for negativity. That's just how we've evolved, to look out for danger, to look for problems, for our own survival. So if we can start to look at the positive moments, they might be literally 30 seconds. You know, there's been a lot of talk about gratitude and gratitude journaling, but there's a reason for that. It is actually very powerful if we do spend some time, at the end of the day or whatever it might be, just to say, okay, what am I grateful for today? Beyond, you know, all the things that we take for granted, but that moment that I saw a beautiful sunrise or that I actually looked into my child's eye and had a proper conversation with them, whatever it might be, then we're not just automatically going to the negative things that we sometimes just feel like we just stick to those memories, don't we? We just will always remember the negative things that someone might have said to us rather than the positive things.
Sadly, it's human nature.
Exactly.
One more thing to say before our next advert break, and then we'll come. We've had some emails as well now, so we'll come over to the WhatsApps and emails. We mention it about mental health probably on every show about the stigma, and there's no stigma in going through problems, but I want to say there's no stigma in feeling lonely either. Don't be embarrassed because you're lonely. Don't think, well, you know, I'm a loser because I'm on my own.
It's also a concept, the loneliness. I think it's the understand that being lonely is your own concept of what loneliness means. Is that I tell myself all the time, I'm lonely because I don't have this or that others seem to have. So maybe I'm not the lonely if I would actually physically compare myself to others, but the self-talk is all about loneliness. And then you start to feel it at the end of the day. Oh, I'm lonely.
When there's manifest.
It becomes real.
Yeah. You don't want that. Let's go to our messages then. We will be back on the other side.
The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
This is the Me That Nobody Sees. If you want to join in with our conversation or ask our experts any questions, feel free to do so by calling 952 78 4000, emailing studio@tre.radio or WhatsApping 645 99 67 95. Before we come on to the WhatsApps and emails, you were just saying off air, Ingrid, that's exactly what you're doing this Christmas. You're going to be for the first time on your own.
Yes, and I already did what Emma started saying, that I messaged my friends. Oh, I'm so lonely. I think this Christmas I kind of made laugh over it, made it like a funny, but then again I was sad. So I I noticed that I was building this fear in my head, this concept that I'm going to be lonely. And then I'm like, no, no way I'm going to be lonely, because I have like friends or I have stuff where to go, but I don't have the same pattern at Christmas that I used to have. So it's really frightening to me.
I'm sure. In a way. I think that's also another thing, is when you find yourself in a situation like this for the first time, that concept of change as well is terrifying. People don't like change. People don't like change. And also, Christmas is a time of traditions, as you say, family. So when it's involving that, it's an incredibly difficult time. But like you were saying, it's a loneliness is a concept as well. And a lot of the problem that people have with the loneliness today is that people aren't very good at learning to be with themselves and sitting with themselves and being comfortable with who they are. So often people will feel lonely because they're not comfortable with themselves as well. So you have to make the distinction, am I lonely because I'm on my own and I'm feeling sorry for myself, or am I lonely because I'm not happy with where I'm at?
Or because you feel like you shouldn't be on your own at Christmas. In actual fact, you can have a great day. You can watch what you want on TV.
I tell you,
you can eat what you want, drink what you want.
One of the best Christmases I had was one where I actually didn't have to participate in the big Christmas, and I could do just what I wanted. And oh my God, it was heaven, absolute heaven.
Bless you. Right, let's look at these WhatsApps and emails then, so we don't leave any of our listeners out. Sarah in Frigliana, I've not read any of these, so I'm just going to read them off the hop and hope there's no swearing or bad language or nothing that makes sense. Sarah in Frigliana, hi there. Thanks for doing this show. This is my first Christmas on my own, like you, Ingrid, after a big life change, and I've been dreading it. Hearing today's discussion has genuinely helped me feel less like I'm the only one struggling. Thank you for shining a light on this. Oh Sarah. Thank you,
brilliant, Sarah.
We salute you. Have a wonderful Christmas. Next one is from someone who wants to remain anonymous. No problem at all. Hi, I wasn't sure whether to write in, but hearing others talk today made me feel brave enough. I've been feeling really invisible lately. My friends are all busy with their own families and I don't want to bother anyone. She's exactly what we were saying. Christmas just feels like something I have to get through. Thank you for doing this show. It's the first time in days I've felt less alone. Oh, that's lovely. We'll give you one as well, anonymous person.
Absolutely. Big hugs.
Invisibility is quite important in that respect. And I think also we are very poor at asking for help.
Definitely.
Or asking others. And as this lady's just said, you know, she feels it's a burden to ask her friends. Honestly, I tell you something. Be brave enough to pluck the courage up and say to somebody, I'm really concerned about being on my own this Christmas. You'll be amazed at the responses you get.
It could be a man, might not be a lady.
I do apologise. It anonymous. Could be our lovely anonymous person.
It's a person. And the final one is an email. They were WhatsApps. It's from MM42. Hello, MM42. This is my first Christmas since my divorce, and I honestly don't know what to do with myself. The house is quiet, and I'm finding it hard to stay positive. I'm reaching out because I don't want to slip into old habits. Listening to the program's given me a little bit of strength today, but any other advice would be welcome. So, Emma, what other advice?
Well, firstly, thank you so much for all of you for writing into the programme. It's, great that you are reaching out, and a first step to acknowledge how you're feeling. And we've all been there. So firstly, thank you for saying that. And, you know, we see you. Invisibility is a huge thing in our society, but, you know, you're acknowledging your feelings, you're reaching out, and that's the first thing to say. To someone who has just been divorced or is finding themselves in a situation after a lot of change, when you talk about old habits, I'm curious what the old habits would be that you are concerned about. But the fact that you've got that awareness to start with is a huge thing, because I think often we just autopilot through life. Maybe we numb our feelings, we escape our feelings in lots of different ways. And Christmas is obviously ripe for that, you know, excess in every extreme. But just being very, very kind to yourself, very compassionate to yourself, again, totally counterintuitive, totally counter to our culture. And I know that sounds all warm, fuzzy and a bit woo-woo, but actually we would be kind to a child or an animal or someone else who was having a tough time. But can we actually extend that to ourselves and say, how am I feeling today? I'm feeling a bit rubbish, to be perfectly honest. What do I need to give to myself? What would help me in this moment? Trying to give that to ourselves, that kindness, that presence, is a first small step. It doesn't have to be you have to rush out straight away and tell people how you're feeling, because you might not feel like you're ready to do that in that moment. But you might feel like tomorrow you might feel that way. But it's just experimenting with lots of different things that work for you. But the first step, I think, is being honest with ourselves and being mm-hmm. very kind and compassionate to ourselves. And that looks different for each and every one of us, like we said earlier. But I would encourage you to keep moving forward, to use this as an opportunity. This is a new way to forge ahead about how you want your Christmas to look like. It doesn't have to look like... We put so much pressure on this particular day of the year,
yeah,
don't we? It doesn't have to look like any other day or any other Christmas. This is your opportunity to try and do something different that works for you.
I think you're right. And I think, I mean, I'm not a professional, but I think from my point of view, my advice would be don't beat yourself up about it, because you're going through an awful process. Divorce is horrible. I could be an expert on that, because I have been through one. But, you know, accept you are going to feel this way. It's rubbish.
And you know, there's a lot of other stuff out there to do as well. There are some brilliant, now we've got some fantastic things, you know, social activities, if you want to participate in them, where you can get involved in things that are sort of Christmas activities, be it, you know, going to a Christmas market with a friend, or, you know, doing things, as you say, I think, to recreate and start and make your own new and fresh.
But I think also, you're absolutely right, Michelle, but I think also, if this person just wants to wallow in their own self-pity for the whole
absolutely.
Christmas, do that.
You know, lay on the sofa, stuff
exactly.
your face with whatever
and
you want, and watch all the programmes
it.
You like, and don't feel bad about it. Because at the end of the day, the only person you have to please is yourself.
Yeah. One practice I would add here that really works with myself, and I've seen it with many of my clients, is that if I ask them, what do you want to do, it's like, I don't know what I want to do. But if I ask the person, if you were a little child yourself and you would think of how to make your, like, this little version of you happy during Christmas, what would you do? Then it kind of imagination opens up. Oh, I would take him or her to this place, or I would do this, or I would just, I don't know, eat cookies and watch TV, or go to a Christmas market. Then it's kind of easier to maybe from this perspective to understand what you would like to do, because it's a big change. Now you exit from old habits and you enter into a new era where you can design your own Christmas rituals.
Yeah.
So do it.
Yeah.
And if you were small, what would you want to do? And then
good
do
advice.
It.
Yeah, good advice. MM42 has just wrote back and said thank you in block capital letters and sent four kisses,
and say four kisses back from MM60.
Do you reckon 42 is the age? Oh, sorry,
not sure.
Michelle.
That's all right. I'm very, very content with being 60, Selena. Thank you very much.
The best 60-year-old I know, and you don't look it, so that's all that matters. Oh. Right, another one's just come in. Love to MM42. This one is from Martin in Palma de Mallorca. Really enjoying the programme. I live alone and usually feel the pressure at this time of year, but this year I'm trying something different. I've planned a Christmas movie marathon for myself. How wonderful. Your show has given me a bit of extra motivation to stay positive, so thank you to you all. We'll give you a round of applause.
Fantastic, Martin. We want to know what's on the movie list.
Exactly. Yes, let us know. Apparently Home Alone is the top movie of all time.
I thought it was Die Hard.
No.
Oh, no, that's not a Christmas movie.
This is a whole other debate, isn't it?
What about It's a Wonderful Life?
Well, that's one of my favourites. Yeah. I don't know whether they asked... I was going to say, I don't know if they asked
young
youngsters about
it all comes down what movie you watched when you were little, or what things you did when you were little, because we're repeating the same activities and patterns that are related to really strong emotions. So the stronger is the emotion, and during Christmas time, I think it's the strongest throughout the year. the strongest emotion. Mm. So these habits that are connected to the really strong emotions, they stick, and they kind of kind of change or the way we are.
Yeah.
They have effect on us.
We have such, well, maybe not all of us, but some of us have such fond memories of Christmas. It is a childish, it makes you go back to being a child, doesn't it, on Christmas Day? I think so.
Yeah.
I'm like a child. I get up at 6 o'clock and I'm waking my husband saying, can I have my presents? Yeah, please.
Good grief. No wonder he has to put up with some things.
Bless you. Oh, another one. Right, how are we doing for time? Hang on, we've had another one. This one is from Priya. Recently moved to Callahonda. Welcome. I moved here for work a few months ago and I don't know anyone yet. I'm dreading the holidays. Everyone else seems to have plans, family traditions, and I'd really appreciate any advice on how to feel less lonely over Christmas. Thank you for giving people like me a space to speak. Mm. Emma.
Thanks for writing in, Priya. Lovely to meet you and welcome to the area. I think the wonderful thing about being new to area, it's a new opportunity to explore and to explore how not only the things that you want in the area, but also how you want to be, because you've got an opportunity to be whoever you want to be in the new area.
Reinvent yourself.
Exactly, exactly. And I think particularly we're very fortunate here in Spain that we've got lots of opportunities. There's so many community groups, well, and elsewhere as well, online and offline, that are really great opportunities for, because everyone here has been in that position. I wasn't born and brought up in this area at all. That we've all been new to an area, no matter where we are in the world, that we all need to have connections and community. So I'd encourage you to seek those out. One, if I can mention one group in particular that I think has been very helpful for me and a lot of people I know, is the Costa Women group that operates all over Spain, that have local groups, and they maybe meet up for coffee or for different activities without any pressure whatsoever. And just to start slowly building the network, it's not an easy time or a transition, but it can certainly just having one thing every couple of weeks or whatever to look forward to start easing into things, and people will then start to invite you to other things, and it will probably snowball from there to meet your own group of people. And it doesn't have to be lots of people necessarily, it just might be a few people would be advice.
Just one second, just on Costa Women, sorry. I'm the host for Costa Women in the Marbella area, so if who was it, Priya?
Yes.
I don't know where you are, Priya. You're in Callahonda. Okay, well, if you're down this end, I can let you know when we have our next meetings. We have socials and business meetings, or I can tell you exactly who it will be in your area. Apologies, Ingrid.
Sorry, I just wanted to add up a dating app like Tinder, because I've talked, I'm also new in here, and I've talked to a lot of people who are traveling a lot, and they say that they use this app not for finding a husband, but do not find new friends, new connections if they are on
Is there a sort of one for that, just for friends?
Yes, and you can find friends, and you can add their nearby, and you can get connections.
Oh, how lovely. That's
so,
a great idea.
It works really well.
That's a great idea. There's also Age Concern. If you're a little bit more mature, Age Concern is brilliant, and again, they're all over Spain. And I would say go on social media, there's forums, fantastic groups,
it's based in Malaga, but it covers surrounding areas as well, specifically for women, I'm afraid, sorry chaps, called Girl Gone International. They have their own page, Malaga Girl Gone International, on Facebook, and they arrange meetups, and they are for people who are on their own or are traveling, and absolutely fantastic group.
That's a really good idea.
I was going to add as well, I'm the host for Costa Women in Benalmádena, so if you wanted to join us in Benalmádena, then you're very welcome. We're going to try and poach you, Priya.
There you go.
Inundated with people.
We'll be fighting over Priya. I don't know, actually, Callahonda, I don't know if there's one actually there near
there's
to her.
There's one in Mijas, I think, but maybe that would be the closest one. But definitely go to the Costa Women website or Facebook page.
I didn't realise that, Emma. How funny.
It's a small world.
It's a very small world. It's a very small world. Right, we've had another one in. Oh, crikey. We're going to run out of time. Alan's. Ooh. Right. Erase that. I would rather not give my name. Sorry. But I lost my mum earlier this year, and Christmas without her just feels wrong. I'm struggling more than I expected. I'm writing because I don't want to bottle it up anymore. Thank you for talking about loneliness. It helps to hear other voices when mine feels small. Oh, Michelle.
Well, I can really relate. I mean, this will be my second Christmas now without my mum. Last year was my first. And it is really tough. You know, it's a time when you do think of all of those things. I so hear what you're going through. I found for me the most important thing last year was doing what I felt was right for me and not worrying about what anybody else thought of what I chose to do. I needed to lick my own wounds and do Christmas my way. And it worked. It wasn't the same, it was different, but it worked. And you will get through it, I can promise you that. And this Christmas is easier than last Christmas. It doesn't take the pain away, but it does get easier.
The firsts are always
the hardest. And mine came very soon after I'd lost my mum as well. So I do understand how difficult this Christmas will be for you. Just be very kind to yourself.
Well, anonymous person. He's just said, don't worry, there are lots of Alans out there. Sorry, Alan. Steve! Yeah, Alan. We're all rooting for you. We're all rooting for you. It must be very, very tough. We need to take our third and final advert break, and then we are almost out of time.
Lifestyle Show.
Selina McKenzie.
Right, we're almost out of time, so I'm afraid we can't take any more WhatsApps or emails, but I've just got a couple to finish with. Anonymous again, just wanted to say today's topic encouraged me to finally message a friend that I haven't spoken to in months. We've already arranged a coffee for next week. Sometimes all you need is a little nudge. Thank you.
Brilliant.
Oh, I love that. And Louise, I know exactly who you are. Louise said, I listen to TRE 365 days of the year and it always makes me feel less lonely. We're liking that. Want to finish out by asking Emma Thornley, can you tell us about your business and how people can get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having the opportunity to do that. I actually operate two businesses. Firstly, I'm a transformational life coach and I support particularly called the Crossroads Coach, Emma the Crossroads Coach on social media, Instagram and Facebook. And I particularly help people who are navigating transitional difficult, overwhelming times in their life. So do get in touch with me, Emma. I have to remember this myself. Emma, the Crossroads Coach, on Instagram and Facebook, or www.emmathornlees.com. And I also co-run Sober Socials, which are sober social events for well-being. People are sober curious or who just want to have fun without having the pressure to drink. So we're on at sobersocials.es on social media as well.
I always do Dry January, so I might come out with in January.
I actually think we should have her back on to have a whole
show on this. Yeah, that's not a bad idea, actually.
And with my co-founder, Lou, so that would be wonderful.
Matt and Lou, Sober Socials. That's a good one, actually. Actually for January,
yes,
so I'll make a big ring round there. Ingrid, tell us about your business and how people can get in touch.
I do support and mentor people, but also businesses who are in change in their personal lives or professional lives. So LinkedIn, Instagram, it's Ingrid Gioia, and Facebook are the main channels, I think, here now.
Great stuff. And our lovely survivor, Michelle, do you have any contact details for us?
I do. If you're really, really struggling and you're finding yourself in a terrible spot over Christmas and the New Year, please contact Samaritans in Spain. They're open every day until midnight. Their helpline is 900-525-100. There is also Caritas España in Malaga for those that are non-English speakers, 952-287-250. And of course, fantastic age concern, 689-355-198.
Wonderful. Thank you, ladies. I just want to finish off with a quote. Even on the loneliest days, you are held in the quiet kindness of those who care, even if you cannot see them. Give yourselves a round of applause, ladies.
Just want to finish off. Thank you, ladies, very much. It brings us to the end of today's programme. If you're feeling lonely this Christmas, as Michelle said, remember you're not alone and reaching out can make all the difference. Thanks for spending this time with us. Wishing you all a comfort, connection and a wonderful holiday season. For today's show, it's time for this.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Playing out with Seda Garrett and Dennis Edwards, Don't Look Any Further. Hannah is next from four, and I'll be back tomorrow with Look. No, I won't. It's Thursday. I won't. I'm off tomorrow. Woohoo! I'll be back on Sunday with your Sunday selection, our request show. Alan and Sean are here tomorrow from two. Buen fin de semana. Look after yourselves and each other.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.